Okay, hello everyone. It is the August 16th, 2023 KPFK Finance Committee. It's 4:07, and I am Kim Kaufman. I'm the Treasurer and Secretary. I'm going to take work. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron? Doug Barnett? Fred Bliss.
Present.
Sue Cohen-Johnson.
Kim, your voice is breaking up a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'll try for a minute, and then otherwise I'm going to have to hang up and get them. Let me know. Cohen-Johnson. Dan McCrory, Raymond Goldstone,
present.
Michael Heiss, Michael, unmute yourself. Can you?
He notified me that he was going to be out of the country.
Kim, this is Mike. Can you hear me?
Do I understand there's no objection to recognizing him as an ex?
No.
Who's speaking to
me? Let me continue taking roll. Nancy Sibarnarison.
Who is it? I hear someone speaking. Who is speaking?
Kim, this is Mike. Did you get that I'm here?
Yeah. I have now, yes, thank you.
Okay. It sounds like there's somebody else. Kim, it sounds like there's somebody else using the same maestro. I heard somebody else taking role for another meeting.
Yeah, who's this speaking? Because we are on a...
I'm not the source of that noise, but I think what we're hearing is the KPFT meeting of some kind. I don't know which meeting it is, if it's finance or cabinet, but those are KPFT names and voices. So somebody has a second line open.
There is a second meeting going, Fred here, there is a second meeting going on. I believe it's the WBI Finance Committee. It's on a different IceCast channel, so it should not be, we should not be hearing it. Unless somebody is logged into both meetings.
That's what I think is the situation.
All right. Can I finish roll, please? Okay. So we got Michael Heiss, Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson is here.
Steve Kaiser. Here. John Markowitz.
John Markowitz is here.
King Riley.
King Riley resigned.
I didn't get any message. I'll contact him. Thank you.
He announced it at a meeting.
Ruth Strauss?
I'm here.
Thank you. Beth Lundgren?
Present.
John Wenger? Is Michael Novick here? No. Somebody want to text Novick and see if he's coming?
I will.
Thank you. Okay, can you hear me okay, everyone?
Yes, I can hear.
Okay, let me know, and you know, because I've been having phone problems. Okay, can I get a timekeeper? Michael Heiss, otherwise engaged. Well, we'll just try and keep
I'm not in
time.
My office. Yeah, I can't do it today.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I mean, it's limited what we're going to do. Can I get them into the agenda?
Don't move. Raymond?
Who is that? Raymond? Okay. Yeah. Hold. Can you hold on 1 second and let me just do this? So Raymond moves to approve the agenda. Are there any comments or amendments?
Yes, John Markowitz. When you sent out the attached documents, Kim, I did not see a minutes. I'm wondering, are you going to send them out before we approve them, or?
I sent them out.
Okay. All I received is. Oh, I'm sorry. I do have them. Thank you.
Okay.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
I think it looks like there aren't many decisions to be made within today's agenda, and so it doesn't seem to be a problem. But before we try to vote on anything, we're going to need to verify the actual roster. If we don't need to vote on anything today, then maybe we can skip that for the moment. By next time, we'll have 3 meetings in a row in this year. We can go on the basis of that attendance.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned, everyone here today has been a previous longstanding member, and I'm just not getting into this today. So that's my ruling, if you will. Is there any objection to that? I really don't want to waste our time on going through the roster. Any objection to that? Okay. Moving on.
I'd like to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Is there some challenge? Is anyone on the call who feels that they've been eliminated from the meeting roster?
No. Well, you are all the names. Everybody here has been coming, for a very long time. Okay, so can we approve the agenda? Do I hear any objections to approving the agenda? No objections. Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move the minutes. I do have one amendment that's very easy.
Okay.
In the section about your election, I think that it should say Wenger moved that Ken Kaufman continue as chair.
Okay.
That's it. You got it. That's the amendment.
Wenger moved. Oh, that Kim Kaufman continue. Okay, yeah, sorry. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I move the adoption of the minutes as amended.
Okay. Any other
Kim, can
no objection?
Kim, we couldn't hear you.
Okay. Does anybody know some show tunes? Because I'm going to get off and I'm going to call back in a minute. Okay.
I'm wondering if there's something wrong with Fred's phone. I'm hearing Kim okay. I'm not challenging you, but I am hearing her okay.
This is Beth. From what I hear, Kim's line breaks up intermittently, so I hear most of what she says, but then whole words will drop out. If Kim has a better option, I would encourage her to use it so we don't have to struggle to hear her.
She's doing that right now.
Fred here. I've got, looking on Maestro control panel, Kim is dropped off, so she's calling back in.
Hello?
Hello, Kim. We hear you.
This is better.
Kim, you need to talk long enough to just tell if there's a dropout or not. Because the issue is not whether you can be heard. whether or not you have dropouts in your audibility intermittent.
Okay.
And by the way, this is John Wanger. This is John Wanger who's not talking to you.
Okay, thank you. I see two new guests. Does anybody want to identify themselves as being part of this this meeting? Okay.
Beth, with a question, did you get down Dan McCrory when he showed up?
No.
He's present now. You should ask him.
Speak for himself, Beth, please. I just asked who the guests are.
He did speak up for himself. Others were speaking at the time, so I asked for clarification. Thank you.
I did not. I asked their two guests, can you please speak up as to who you are if you're a part of this meeting?
I'm here.
I'm here. Is this Dan McCrory?
Yes, it is, Kim.
Thank you.
This is Michael Novick. I had an invitation to Zoom. It didn't work. I tried the Zoom number, then I went to KPFDX.
I'm
logged in.
I'm so sorry. That's my fault, Michael. Oh, no. Didn't I include you in the email this morning? I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am sorry.
You may have. I'm so swamped with email, and I'm dealing with the election stuff. And sorry,
yes.
I'm here now.
Okay, I still see two unnamed guests. Is anyone a member of this meeting?
This is Sue Cohen Johnson.
Okay. And anyone else?
I believe one of the guests is Michael Novick.
Michael, can you speak up for a second?
Yeah, that's me here.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you all for bearing with me on this. Okay, so back to... okay, so we have no objections on the minutes. I'm moving on. I want to make a few comments as to update folks on what's going on. Okay, so I sent out the April financials, and I apologize because the May financials do exist, but they have not been reviewed by the National Finance Committee yet, and so I can't send them out. That's unfortunate that this stuff takes so long up there. I was intending to blow off making an agenda for FY24 because as of a week or so ago, the building was about to enter escrow, or it had entered escrow, but that fell through. So I realized I should start a budget, which I had intended to present today, but I couldn't figure out the revenue, and I haven't gotten a response from Novick or the ED or Markeisha, so I'm going to have to put that on hold until, you know, they have time. I suspect the ED is having bigger issues than this little budget. We, as you know, have two loans. We're basically, I believe the word is default on both of them. One has been turned over to the Treasury Department for collections, and the other, well, I don't know, but also all of our insurance has been canceled. That includes earthquake, equipment, property and casualty, general liability, excess liability, and media liability. So that impacts these loans for which our building is collateral. So I suspect there are bigger issues going on at the National, trying to keep us out of, I don't know, Chapter 7. I don't know. We still have no money to pay the auditor to start the FY22 audit. Let's see. The
information.
Who is this?
This is Ruth.
Yeah, Ruth.
I'm just curious. I don't know these things. How much does an audit cost? Does anybody know?
$75,000 or $70,000 is.
That was the last quote. That was the last quote.
Well, that's what we have. He needs 50% up front. $35,000.
$39,000.
Okay, thank you.
Jonathan, point of information.
Yes, Jonathan.
Can you give the date of when this information regarding the U.S. Treasury Department and also the insurance, the actual dates of when this happened? And was this information that was known prior, I mean, going back weeks?
No.
And was this information gleaned from two National Board Finance Committee meetings?
Beth can respond to that. I mean, I think it was, we talked about it a week ago in the NFC, and I'm not sure, I'm confused whether it also came up on the PNB, you know, a couple of days before that. So it's like less than 2 weeks that I've known about it.
Was any of this brought up on the previous National Board Finance Committee from back in July 25th?
No. A week ago was the first meeting that it came up on.
Okay, and was there any documentation that pertains to this information?
Jonathan, this is not a request for information. You can ask questions, but, you know, request for information has to do with process.
Okay, thank you.
What's your last question?
Well, I was just wondering if there was any documentation relative to this information that you have.
No, I don't.
In order for people to quote or verify it.
No, I don't. I don't. Perhaps the PNB does. I'm sure they have more than I have. So our fund drive to date is doing $2,856 per day as of yesterday. The total raised as of yesterday, $37,137. We've had 334 donations, which averages 26 per day.
If I can say, Kim, so it's a little bit over 40,000 now and 352 donations.
Well, okay. That happened today. I calculated not partial days.
Yeah, I'm not going to be looking, just kind of taking vision.
Okay, well, this is as of yesterday. And this is, started off the year with $3,900 per day, $4,400 in December, $4,600 in February, $4,500 in April, $4,000 in June, and now we're doing $2,875. Maybe it's popped up a little, but this is not, you know, to me it's of concern, and I'm reporting the numbers. It's of very much concern. I mean, I on the budget, my estimate, I got all the expenses in, and our expenses through December, I need a better number for our payroll after December, which is supposedly going to go down, but up until December, it's $95,000 to like $115,000 per month. So, you know, these numbers, and that is not including 20,000 per month for central services. So we've got a big spread between what's coming in and what's going out. Okay. That's enough for me. I mean, if you want questions, or Michael Novick can speak and ask us both questions. Why don't we do that? Michael, you want to speak?
Well, I agree with your concern. All the fund drives have had a little bit of a increase as they went along. The last one, midway looked pretty bad, and then it improved somewhat. I have sent around a lot of the programmers optional premiums that can be used from the PRA, and at the end of the day today, I was going to be sending out a report to the staff and programmers about where we stand midway through the drive, because it's just about halfway point. And if the second half isn't better than the first, we're in very, very deep trouble. Absolutely.
Any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Chris?
Raymond has a question.
Raymond, go ahead.
Michael, I don't monitor every show, but I was concerned yesterday in listening to you, Ms. Kotkar, that someone has an open line, because I'm hearing me twice, and that's bad enough to hear me once. I listened to Kohatker's show, and she spent a total of about 6 minutes and 30 seconds advertising her own website, but didn't ask for a donation for KPFK. And that disturbs me, and I don't know if others are doing that.
It's a problem. It's an issue with anything that we get that's also syndicated. I've been trying to get people to send us a version that incorporates pitching for us. It hasn't gotten a lot of success. We could move to preemptions if we had our own content. I'll talk about it further with Terry and some other people here. I've asked several of the programs that, make content available to us and to other people, that they give us a version that either has time for us to pitch, or that they can send us them pitching, as, for instance, Tom Hartman does very effectively, and Amy Goodman, does a cutaway, and you hear them talking about KPFK. So some of the other programs that we pick up in a similar manner need to be doing that as well.
I'm Ruth to the stack.
Go ahead.
One of us. I asked to be on the stack.
Go, Grace.
Steve to the stack also, please.
Sorry.
To follow up on that, pushing people to your own website, et cetera, hosts.
Can you speak up?
Yes, Grace.
Please. Okay.
We can't hear you, Grace.
Is that better?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, hosts. Pushing their own websites, et cetera, violates or probably violates the personnel handbook, the employee handbook. I think it's page 53 or 63, something like that. I can send that to Michael if he wants. The other thing is, I believe that on a national level, because of the shortfalls at, primarily because of the shortfalls at KPFK and WBAI, that what we're looking at in the huge amounts of red ink and monies we owe to vendors, that we will be in bankruptcy soon, and or WBAI and KPFK will be made into repeater stations. The red ink just cannot continue. I imagine that this is being discussed on the national level, but in closed session. That would be my presumption. The debts are huge, and the payments, scheduled payments, are not being met, and it's a very, very bad financial situation across the network, and I believe that drastic action will either be taken by the National Board or will be taken upon Pacifica by vendors suing or foreclosing. I believe probably I don't know, have any inside information. I believe probably FJC is in the process of foreclosure on all of our buildings. That's all. That's my opinion. FJC, that's the loan that we have, one of the loans. And I believe that there's some legal action being taken regarding the EIDL loan as well. Financial situation is extremely dire. Little remedies, barring a miracle, like somebody donating millions of dollars, literally, or a bequest coming in, or whatever, short-term or, solutions like improving programming, et cetera, are not going to forestall the horrible probability of either bankruptcy and or two stations being or more being made into repeater stations.
Have we discussed it, or both? Have we discussed the topic of bankruptcy?
Wait,
Steve, Gracie, okay. Finished?
I apologize.
I'm finished.
Okay. Who was next, Ruth or Kaiser?
I was, but...
Is that okay, Steve?
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead, Ruth.
Well, I kind of forgot what I was going to say, so...
I want to remember for a while. I'm just curious about the defaulted loans and what sort of bankruptcy we're contemplating. And I think this would be a bankruptcy that would encompass all stations, seeing that we are one entity. Is that close to what you think, Grace?
Well, I'll speak to that.
If you want me to respond, I will, Kim.
Oh, fine.
Go ahead, anybody.
Okay. I have no inside information, Steve, whatsoever. But I would assume that our vendors are going to be pushing us into bankruptcy because we're defaulting on payments to large loans, and we're not paying some of our bills. I believe that the tower rent is not being paid at WBAI, or it's backlogged. There are a lot of bills that have not been paid in a long time that we're delinquent in. And these delinquencies will most likely push the foundation into bankruptcy, or we will choose. I have no inside information. I would imagine that the National Board, because of the dire financial situation and the impending probability that we will not be able to even meet payroll soon, let alone paying vendors, that we will either be pushed into bankruptcy and or WBAI and KPFK will be made into repeater station in a last-ditch effort to forestall bankruptcy and or massive layoffs at KPFA. It would also possible, and I don't know, it's just speculation on my part. I have no inside information. I don't want inside information. But I also would assume that there'll be a push to sell the KPFA building if the K building can't be sold quickly enough. That's all.
Jonathan, on this.
Yeah, I remembered what I was going to say. Just put me back on the stack.
I'll put you back on.
Jonathan, on the stack.
Okay, just hang on for 1 second. I want to say, first of all, we've long since passed Chapter 11 reorganization. Okay,
why? The
item. Why? Because we don't have money to. Then we have nothing to reorganize. Okay. But that's not what a reorganization plan is. You have to have a going business in order to be able to pay your bills while you're reorganizing, and our assets will take time to, liquidate. So that's my opinion as well. I've been talking about our non-payment of bills and our decreasing revenue for the last 10 years, but more specifically for the last 4 years, and here we are. The main concern, in my opinion, is the fact that we lost our insurance, and those buildings are required to be insured because we don't own them. Our lenders own them. And that would, in my opinion, be a triggering effect, a triggering event for the lenders. So that's my concise opinion about it. I don't know. Perhaps Beth would like to weigh in since she's a little closer to it on the PNB. But Ruth is next on the stack. Go ahead, Ruth.
So this is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I was just going to say
to... No, Ruth. But we've already hit the glacier.
No. I'm talking about what I have to say, okay? And that is to Michael about Sonali. I would not put in another program. She's very she's very well liked. I would just reach out to her to, you know, make a pause and let the station do the advertising, or else ask her to do it. That was all. Thank you.
Well, I just want to say I totally agree with Ruth and Raymond on this issue. It's been a real, all these, you know, all these places are just using us as a pass through to drive listeners to their websites. That's where we're at.
Can you put me back on the stack, though?
Who's that?
Michael Novick.
Okay. I heard Markowitz first.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike. I'll go after you, Mike.
So a couple of things. One is that there was a plan for the payroll period we just reached that was put through the National Board, as I understand it, which was to cut the pay of all non-union personnel, and at the last moment, enough money came in to not do that on this most recent payroll. But the directors and managers who are paid at other stations would have had a 25% cut. The PNB passed a kind of a triage motion a while ago as to who would get paid if they couldn't make payroll. But they did make it, but it, you know, that's arbitrary because they couldn't pay all the other things that they had to pay. In relation to the insurance, I was told about this, you know, towards the end of last week, and what the ED was saying is they might have to go to separate from the issue that was just raised about, you know, the fact that the buildings are collateral for the loans and they're no longer insured. Since there's no liability or earthquake insurance, there was a question about restricting basically the COVID rules of not allowing anybody in. And I have not gotten an answer back from the ED as to whether we have to do that to allow only paid staff in the building because there's no insurance whatsoever.
Well, okay. Okay, go ahead, Markowitz.
Yes, you know, the information that Grace just reported, I'm concerned about, you know, again, the timetable of all of these developments, or shall we say that these processes that are already in play regarding the U.S. Treasury, regarding the EIDL loan, regarding the FJC loan. And I'm concerned that not enough information is going out to the listeners about our situation, number one. And, you know, what we need is some clarity in terms of documentation, in terms of verification of timetables, of all of these things. Obviously, you know, financially, the network has been in the toilet and for many months, if not years. So, and again, we're right in the middle of an election cycle, which I believe has been grossly inadequately managed and administrated, and that's a whole other issue. But at this point, Grace, especially your report right here, we definitely need more verification information. As I said, we need documentation of when these developments have happened chronologically, We also need to know, so obviously this is the purview of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee, and Beth is on that committee as far as I know, and I'm not sure if anybody else on this call is. So I'm hoping that that all of the signal areas can be brought in. What we absolutely need is some sort of conference with people from all five finance committees and all five local station boards, as well as listeners, to see if there's any possibility of way to forestall what looks like an inevitable collapse of the foundation and bankruptcy in short order. Thank you.
Grace, can I be on the stack again?
And Mike, I
haven't spoken.
And Beth.
Yes, Mike.
This is
go
Dave.
Ahead, Beth, and then Mike, and then Grace.
And Dave for the stack.
Okay, so Beth, Dave, Beth Heiss, and Dave, and then Grace.
Hi, thanks. Yes, the National Finance Committee is comprised of one director elected from each station by the PNB to the National Finance Committee each year. I've been that person for the last 2.5 years now. And the other half of the committee is the treasurer elected from each LSD. And for the time being, that's Kim. So Kim and I are the KPFK representatives on the National Finance Committee. And I don't have any more recent information than Kim does. My most recent information came 8 days ago at the National Finance Committee. I will ask. We were provided, maybe it was at the PNB, we were provided a executive director's report, in like a summary report in writing, and I need to check to see whether there's any part of that is confidential or not. If it's not, and if I'm free to, I will distribute it to the entire committee as soon as I can after this meeting. The situation is dire. I don't know of, short of, you know, angels from heaven, I don't know of anything else that's going to turn the situation around. It's been really, really painful watching this whole thing come unraveled over the what still feels like the brief time that I've been here. I'm still in my rookie term. So I don't know that I can shed much more light on it than what has been said here today. If there are any specific questions people have, I'd be happy to take them. And if I don't have the answers, I'll do what I can to follow up on it. Thank you.
Go ahead, Heiss.
Okay, sorry. And I apologize for being on and off a call. I'm out of the office on a kind of family issue. Michael, I also apologize if you've answered this before I sign back on. Did you address the issue of having enough money to pay Edison for the power to the transmitter? And given the, you know, well-known shaky situation with the power supplies, is there anything that you can report that Stewart or Worries or any of that group have seen that points to something that might be a sooner than later, which would require funds that regrettably, you know, we don't have? And suddenly, our power supplies will we're kind of screwed unless we have the money, because, again, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't even have spares. So I apologize if that's been asked, but if not, could you address that?
No, it has not been. And, yes, I'd like an update on the transmitter. I forgot to mention that. In a nutshell, our transmitter is dying, and that's a $200,000 expense. And in the meantime, just trying to keep going, we have, I don't know, Michael can explain the power supply thing, which is, my best figure is $20,000 straight up. I don't know. Go ahead. Novick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, the power supplies that power the transmitter that are kind of unique to that transmitter, the company that makes them no longer exists. There are two versions of them. One's we have, Most of them are an older version that is no longer even being serviced, and the newer ones are an expensive repair. The company that made them went out of business. The people that made the transmitter bought the property rights. It takes a long time to get them fixed. We probably need to buy replacements for a couple of the older ones, which would be these also out of date but repairable ones, just to stay in operation. We're not operating at full power currently, and it's a problem. I asked, I've had made a series of efforts to get the chief engineer here and the chief engineer of the foundation to come up with exact figures for me, and I don't have them yet in hand, but we have another tech task force meeting this Friday, at which I'm hoping to get a lot of that in writing and prioritize the order of what it's going to cost and what's the first thing to do.
Right, thank you. Well, anyone else?
Michael,
oh.
You don't,
oh.
Go ahead.
Can I follow up? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
Michael.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And again, I apologize. I'm outside
the hospital. Michael, could you make certain that I get an invitation to the task force? Because I
okay,
have
yeah. A couple of the national people asked to make the last one tighter, and I did so at their request, but I think we need to have more people on it. So the next one will be a
okay,
little
but,
wider
but
again.
Just to go back, all right, if it's appropriate, you know my interest in this. But just to go back
yeah.
to the power supplies for 1 minute. My question, I understand all the stuff you've said. The question is there any prediction as to, given that they can't be repaired, as far as you know, and I realize it's Stuart and others who are really watching this, is there any chance that we could lose enough and not have enough spares that we could go off the air? And the other question is, given that we're at reduced power now for the same reasons, is there any potential issue with the FCC for operating at reduced power?
I'm sure there will be an issue with the FCC. That was the issue. The reason that KPFT has HD is that they were operating at reduced power for many years and got a succession of waivers from the FCC. And then several years ago, there was a motion at the PNB level to, buy them new transmitters, essentially, by lending them the money to do so, which at that time was in the $100,000 range and probably is, as Kim said, double that at this point. They have probably the most modern ones around. But they did have waivers for, I think, 6 years before that and were operating at very low power. And one of the conditions of lending them the money was that they needed to come up with a plan once they had the full power of really building their audience. And it's the same thing here. We have a tremendous amount of power, but we're not attracting the listeners with it. So that's a lot of money essentially, not being used very productively because it takes a tremendous amount of power to power 110,000 watts and it's costly. And, the listener per watt is not a very good ratio.
Cold stone to the sack, please.
Okay. I just want to say, I didn't say the KPFT transmitter would be twice that price. Our transmitter, when we replaced it in like 2012, was $200,000. So that's that. And we had, we were on our third FCC waiver for not having enough power. So I could ask you, but I'm going to probably ask Stuart and Almala also after this, write an email. Have we gotten an FCC waiver? Because, we need to keep track of that. Because three waivers and we're done. That's all the FCC will allow us. So that's something to all right, who is next?
Dave's on the stack, Goldstein.
I think Dave. Who said after that?
Goldstein.
Okay. Dave, you're next.
Thank you, Kim. Michael, thank you for your information. In light of the current situation, I think we, even though you were able to scrape some money together for payroll, I would recommend that you try to do reduced employment hours or possible layoffs as soon as possible, immediately if possible. And I know there's some things that have to be done to do that, but I would recommend that that be done prior to the next payroll period, if possible, or as soon as possible. And then the second thing is I have a question as to whether or not we should suspend the election. It seems like we're wasting a lot of people's time, especially the people, the candidates that are doing the on-air forums and other things, and maybe replace it with some kind of explanation card of some type. But I can't imagine us continuing with these elections. We could say they're going to be suspended for a month or two or whatever you think's best. But if Grace is accurate, saying that we might be in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy within days or at least within a couple of months, I can't see the purpose of running these election carts, these election forums. So anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Can you put me on the stack, please?
If Michael Novick would like to make a comment, please.
And Ruth to the stack also. Thank you.
Jonathan to the stack.
I believe I'm on the stack from before.
And Beth.
Well, the payroll here is quite a bit smaller than it was. We have certain obligations under it. We're under a contract, so that's negotiated between Pacifica and the various unions that are representing the staff here. And I can take it up with the ED and see what. They can go to SAG after WIF, but at this point we've had a job freeze and every position that has vacated has been left vacant for quite some time since I got here, and so the payroll is much lower than it was, but obviously we're not paying me, we're not paying the program director, there is no business manager, there is no development director, there is no operations manager, et cetera, et cetera. So, the next question is the staff, and, I can't talk any further about that, but I'm sure it's been considered.
All right.
The elections, Michael, and the candidate forums?
Wait a minute.
The elections, I think, is the board order that they have to have them, I'll tell you.
But we might be out of business in 2 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I would recommend, if I can just follow up, Kim, somebody leveling with the candidates and give the candidates an appraisal. It's like information like what was discussed earlier in tonight's meeting. I think we owe it to the candidates who might be putting in a lot of time and effort that we level with them as the current situation of the station and the network, and tell them then at the very minimum that they can continue with their efforts to run for the LSV, but they should at least be made aware of the fact that this might happen so that they don't put in all this effort and then sort of have the chop hit right after they're finished with whatever electioning they've been doing. So I think we owe it to these people, at least the candidates, hopefully the listeners, but at least the candidates, to give them an appraisal as to what's happening and so that they have the choice to continue or not to continue based on what we think might happen. And also, I'm not privy. I can't imagine we would have a station board with a repeater station if we became a repeater station, but somebody could maybe enlighten us on that more than what I would know. Thank you.
Steve Kosher to the stack.
Actually, can I have additional comments? Because becoming a repeater station, it doesn't seem to me to be a solution to anything. Grace implied that that's a substitute for layoffs. But, we're not paying anyone now to be a programmer of any kind. So the expenses that we have nothing to do with the programming that we carry. It has entirely to do with the utilities, the signal, the small paid staff that we have on the contract. We could save on a couple of board ops, there's no significant savings if we eliminate the programming we have and replace it with programming from somewhere else.
Can I follow that, Kim? I only meant that I don't know if you would still have elections if we became a repeater station. I don't understand if we would have to have elections.
That, Dave. We don't know the answer to that.
Right. Well, I'm just my argument for at least leveling with these potential candidates that are obviously putting in a lot of time and effort. Well, I think we should let them know what's going on.
You're not going to stop these elections. First of all, it's court ordered. Second of all, this is the lifeblood of all of these candidates. So this is not going to stop. I mean, you can't.
If we don't stop them, I am just advocating for informing them. Thank you.
Right.
Dave, I think they're probably aware of it, at least to some degree.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't.
Based on what I've heard on the air, I doubt that.
I've been saying this for years, and nobody's, this is a shock to some. So,
we've been headed for this juncture for a long time.
Okay, I'm moving on. Grace is next on the stack.
Did Steve Kaiser speak a first time?
Yes.
I'll speak after you. Thank you.
You haven't spoken, Kaiser?
Okay. I think I spoke very briefly before.
Go ahead. You're right. Then speak.
I thought it was my turn. Okay.
Sorry.
My point is that, Dave, I don't think we're going to have instantaneous liquidation like that. This is going to be a really labored reorganization, and we've got to have some sort of staff in place. It's not going to be pushed into Chapter 7 where they're just tearing the assets apart. They're going to have some remaining skeletal crew, if nothing else, to run the operation. And we're talking about the sale of a signal, and this is a process that takes, from what I understand, 3 to 5 years. So we're not going to go, disappear overnight, but we've been headed for this junction for a long time. If we weren't able to manifest angels out there that could pull us out of this, then we were going to be heading towards this because there's no other choice. There's no off-ramp to liquidation then. We need angels. And there are people out here with money, and we've got to do what we can to appeal to them. In the meeting on Monday, I mentioned that I just got something from the American Civil Liberties Union, and they're going out to people and say, hey, let us set up charitable lead trusts for you. We could do all sorts of things for you. We can accept these assets. But they're making an active effort to go after people that have some assets. And like I said, we've got a really cherry item here. It's the only progressive radio network in this country. In a sea of left-wing Fox radio pundits. Anyway, it'll take a while to liquidate this, so it's not going to happen overnight. I'm done. Thanks.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. I agree with Steve. After much deliberation about bankruptcy, on in closed session with advice from a very competent bankruptcy attorney hired by the foundation, it's my opinion that Chapter 11 is possible. Chapter 7 would not be immediately possible. I'm not saying that we're going to go into bankruptcy, but I think it's a very good possibility. Taking into consideration our financial situation. Now, the financial information is available. I got it from listening to the National Finance Committee meeting on August 8th. Any one of you can go to KPFTX and look in the archives and find that meeting and listen to it. Stephanie gives all the blow-by-blow description of how much in debt we are, that our insurance policies have been canceled, et cetera, et cetera. It's all there. For you to listen to.
Where's that, Grace? I'm sorry. Where's
okay, it's the August 8th meeting of the National Finance Committee. The audio is on KPFTX. You just go to the archives and you find that date and National Finance Committee, and you can listen to and get all the information about our financial situation. It's very dire. I didn't get it from any inside source or anything. The other thing is this. It may be that layoffs are imminent, but there's a problem with layoffs in stations, probably KPFA, for instance, where the staff is under union contract and they are owed severance. The severance payouts would be pretty enormous, and that has to be done legally probably when the person is laid off, unless a special agreement is ironed out with the union. So that is, it's not so simple to just lay off staff and to reduce your overhead because of the severance situation and because of union contracts. The the repeater station, I haven't done the numbers. Michael might be very right that it's not really helpful financially to make the two stations into repeater stations because of the fact that the stations, as they're running, even though their revenue has declined, they're still bringing in income of $1 million to $1.5 million annually each. And once you have a repeater station, that income could be halved because of the lack of loyalty and the change of programming. So we are in a real conundrum. It would be almost impossible to figure this out, but I'm sorry to be so bring you such negative information, but the truth is the truth. And I would say Chapter 11 is feasible, and listen to that, the audio of the meeting on August 8th on the archives, the KPTX archives.
Jonathan on the stack, please.
Becca's next.
Sue Stack.
Thank you.
Let me get the people who haven't spoken, and that's Sue. So.
Oh, now you made me forget what I was going to say. Becoming repeater stations is a loser move. KPFA would probably just cut us all loose anyway and be on their own. They've been threatening to do that. They've tried to do it at least twice that I noticed. That's all.
Okay, Beth is next.
Thank you. Yes, the elections are court ordered. We don't have a choice. This is due to the Thierry Rideau et al. Lawsuit. It'll come up for a hearing next summer sometime. But in the meantime, the judge has, of the long list of things they requested, the one thing the judge granted was this election, despite the fact that we didn't have it last year because we didn't have the do-re-mi, and we still don't. I know I'm finding this election process profoundly frustrating and not satisfying because we're trying to do it with less money than what's really necessary to do the job right. If I want to continue in my work with Pacifica, I have no choice but to run, so I am. I would not in any way think of this as my lifeblood. I hate this process. I hate all the many, 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 many times we have to stand again and again and again to be elected to boards and committees, and it pits all of us against each other, and I think it really undermines our ability to work together when we need to. So I'm doing it because it's necessary. I do it with a heavy heart. I'll be going to the Spanish language candidates forum later this evening and the English language ones on Friday. We don't have the choices been taken out of our hands. We have no option other than to do it. To postpone it in any way would simply extend the contract of the election supervisor. Excuse me, which would actually increase the cost. So that's not an option. I guess that's. I tried to hit most of the questions I heard come up. If there's anything else, let me know, and I'll try to address it. That's all I can think of at the moment. Thanks.
Ruth is next.
Sam McCarty of the Stack.
I'm having another senior moment. I think one of the things was, of course, there is the legal thing that we have to do it. We have to do the elections. I agree. It's unfortunate that we're not, Dave is right that it, you know, causes a lot of trouble for those of us who have to, you know, fit something into 2 minutes and another thing into 1 minute and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, we do have to do it. And I can't remember what the other point was. So I yield, as they say.
Corey, go ahead.
It's just a question. Do we have any idea what the number would be to allow us to get to a point where we're in free fall, we're not making or losing, we've just settled all our debts?
I can't. Can you repeat that slower and a little more elucidating? I can't. I didn't understand it.
Does anybody have any idea what kind of number we're looking at in order to settle all debts and at least be in a position where we can try to build from there?
Over $8 million.
Yeah.
I'm sorry? What was the number?
Over $8 million. We're over $8 million in debt.
Got it. Thank you.
And going.
Okay, Markowitz.
Yes, thank you. Well, now, this... Again, I wanted to reiterate what I said before. I appreciate the person who spoke earlier with the questions about the elections in regards to the situation, and was Michael to respond. I can't remember what your name was, sir, but in any case, this situation requires, really, that the listeners in all five signal areas, along with all the LSB candidates, of course, have to be briefed, and, like, immediately, like within the next 24 hours. So, Michael, General Manager Michael Novick, I hope that you understand why this is so critical, and I'm not in any way trying to dictate programming responsibilities here, but I'm talking about the entire network. I mean, for you know, those who just happen to have heard the August 8th National Board Finance Committee meeting, or who are planning to, I mean, this is already you know, a week ago. So, and obviously these developments have been in play for a lot longer than that, and we all know that. But again, this is, you know, there couldn't be more of an emergency moment. And that, can somebody please mute who's making all this side noise by any chance?
Yes.
I guess not. Okay. So the point I'm making here is that right now I believe it is appropriate for this committee, which I'm a member of, and I would like to make a motion that this committee issue a statement and that we draft a statement immediately, right now, that is basically a declaration or at least an announcement to all the other four LSBs, all of the members of the LSBs, that this statement also be directed to all candidates in all five signal areas, and that the objective is to craft an immediate public statement by the foundation, by the governance structure of Pacifica, to announce to all of its members, all of the listener members and all five signal areas, the status of what we're talking about right now. I think this is highly appropriate.
Have I lost my place, Madam Chair?
Yes, you
no,
did.
You're next, Raymond. You're next. And I, unfortunately, thank you. I have to deal with
thank
this.
Thank you for interrupting again, Raymond. So to finish my comment, this is a motion. I'm putting forward a motion right now.
Write it down and send it to me. I'm not going to draft it.
Okay. I may not be able to draft it now, but this is what I'm proposing, and I hope that other people on this call right now can discuss this idea. Thank you.
I need it in writing. I need it in writing before we can discuss it, so I'll wait, you know, for you to send it to me, and I'm going to call on Raymond. Go ahead, Raymond.
Thank you. A good deal of this material we've been discussing is speculation.
I believe it's probably informed speculation, but it is speculation. I don't think we owe a thing to the people running for office except to listen to them and to vote if we choose. I also don't think that all of the information that's relevant is public. Period. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have that motion, Markowitz?
No, I do not. I'm sorry, I'm not in this position right now to write up a motion. It just came to me, just the idea came up. It's an idea. If nobody wants to discuss it, that's fine. I'll see if I can write something up, but it's probably not going to be in time.
Ruth to the staff.
Go ahead, Ruth.
I was just going to say, I mean, this may be, you know, a pipe dream, but it's been brought up before. You know, Margaret Prescott is friends with and has done programs with Danny Glover. We have all these people, you know, Halle Berry and people, Jackson Brown, Jack Black, who have made announcements for the station before. I'm wondering if anybody is approaching them. That really, I think, should be done. And that's all I had to say.
Okay, well, I'm going to end this discussion. I mean, we've way gone beyond our time here, and we were supposed to review the April financials, which I'd like to do. I do have one question for Novick. Are you still on?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So can you tell me about this premium for Harrison's show, the credit thing that I listened to
the guest
show in the archives, and that it was not mentioned at all. So they obviously something went on last Friday's show. But that show was not archived, so I have no idea what that thing is.
The show wasn't archived? That's weird.
The show was archived, but not one mention of a fund drive is mentioned in that show. So that could not have been the show that was broadcast on Friday.
Okay, I'll have to look into that. I heard it while it was live. He had a woman guest on talking about various ways to use the techniques of wealthy people with forming an LLC and other ways to limit your tax liability, and she was offering some kind of consultation that she had stopped offering but was making a special offer for Pacifica, KPFK listeners exclusively to get her consultation and some of those matters. So that's what it is. It didn't sound when it was on like exactly what was described on the list of premiums, but that is what was being offered.
Well, I personally would really like to know exactly what it is, because I have questions. Can you get back to me on that, Michael?
I'll check with how it got listed that way, and I'll check with Carrie about what exactly they were offering, and with Terry about the name that was put on it, and what they're getting.
Yeah. Okay. So, I sent out the April financials, and unfortunately, as I said, we couldn't get to the May because the chair sent them out late, and all that, and so we're stuck with April. I can speak to the May ones. And one thing I do want to point out, in the April financials, which you all have, the listener support was $136,000 less than last year. total, April to April, is $143,000 less than last year. The May financials, which I have, but I can't send to you yet, is $170,000 less than last year, and $176,000 total less than last year. So, you know, our revenue is decreasing as fast as our expenses are, and that's our problem.
We have to redefine ourselves. What we've been doing so long.
Okay, I have another question for Michael Novick on, well, it's on the May financials. I'll ask you that in email. Okay, anybody have any comments on these April financials that they want to speak to?
I'm kind of curious about what premiums we were offering, whether they were particularly unattractive compared to what we've been doing. See if that has anything to do with our decreased figures.
Well, I reported previously, made a decision. I did speak with membership department when I first came in, their assessment, and I agreed is that the high ticket premium items were overall, not actually raising much money for the station. That the cost of the items, the cost of the consultants, and the cost of the shipping and the time involved for the staff made it a wash. That we were going to go ahead with essentially not a lot of fund drive special preemptions, and with existing programmers appealing for funds based on their program and on low and no cost premiums. And for this drive, I requested and finally got a number of particular PRA items that started being used related to events in August, such as Hiroshima Nagasaki, the women's suffrage amendment passed, Black August, the Chicano moratorium, and so on. So I'm hopeful that the second half of this drive, some of that will get some teeth. It's been a process to get a lot of programmers who are accustomed to just taking a pass on the fund drives and letting their shows be preempted for these specials, actually put up content and pitch. And we talked earlier about the stuff that's syndicated to us. So the development costs are down substantially from what they were. And there are no, there's almost no consultants at this point. And certainly none for the fund drive. And so.
I can pass me bets of disasters, like in South Asia, and I think Haiti, where we raised funds on the air to help these things out, and we got some of that. Is there any thought about, I know it's disaster capitalism, but we were a help to those people, and we were a help to ourselves. So is there any thought about doing more of that?
And a word. There are issues about, Kim can maybe speak to this as well. You can't just snap your fingers and raise money for other nonprofits.
But we got to think about what's bringing in money and address that, develop it so that it brings in money again. And we're just getting worse and worse like this. I, as I repeatedly say, these people don't think of themselves as members. They think that they're going to buy something at a little higher price, but they're doing it because they support KPFK. They don't think of themselves as members in any respect.
Yeah, well, we've trained, we've trained our listeners, particularly the ones that respond to the big ticket items, to think of it in that way. I think it's a retraining process. I think there are also a lot of people sitting on their wallets because of some of the factional issues. And there were the big drop off after the bylaws. Elections, and you know, there's a lot of people I think are sitting and waiting for exactly what we see that we're discussing.
You think they're waiting on the election to support us? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying a lot of people stopped sending money to Pacifica after the bylaws election.
Really?
Well, after some of our programmers left.
This is Grace with a question.
Okay, did I hear Ruth first?
Yeah, I did say to the staff.
Grace, do you have a process question, or shall I put you on the stack?
No, you put me on the stack. You can have
okay,
Ruth
go ahead, Ruth.
I was just going to say that I think one of the problems is the programming, and I had put in a motion that was passed unanimously, except for one abstention, about having a town hall and a survey about programming, because I think that, you know, we don't have any listener input, and I think that's really bad. But unfortunately, right now, I think the elections are kind of precluding that. And so I'm planning as soon as that is over, which I guess is September 15th or whatever, that, I mean, I hope that's not too late. I hope we're not in receivership by then, but, you know, I am planning to go ahead with that. The other thing that I bring up all the time and I perseverate about is that if anybody wants to donate to the station, wants a premium, they have to go through at least 12 pages. Because I've said this now for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I know that Allegiance sets it up. I know that, you know, nobody is asking Allegiance to change it because we owe them money. There's got to be somebody who can do something with the web page. It is patently absurd to have a web page with premiums where 2/3 of the page is totally blank, and there's a column on the right-hand side that shows 4 premiums per page, and you have to go through 12 pages, and they're not even organized, at least 12 pages, and they're not even organized in, you know, by ranking by program or by cost or whatever. I mean, it's just a disaster. That may not, you know, be something that, you know, is the saving grace for the station, but it's ridiculous if this has gone on this long. So I think programming and the way the pledge page is set up is at least a minor contribution, if not more. Thank you.
I would just like to say that those people who want to talk about programming should go to the programming committee. Michael has given to the LSB the links to Allegiance. You have all this data. It's available to you. This you could discuss it as much as you want. I am speaking. You could discuss it as much as you want in the programming committee, but there is data to talk about. Who was that?
Data. What data are you talking about?
The fund drive data.
I sent to the LSB, it shows you by premium, by day, by break, meaning chronologically from the beginning of the drive, each program that gets, and then the totals for each program alphabetically. So you can look and see what programs have done well. That's part of what I was going to send out to the staff and programmers. I'll add the LSB to a kind of general report on that sometime tonight.
Yeah, but, I mean, the proof is in the pudding that the donations are going down instead of up. So, and I do go to the program committee, of course. That's where I made the motion in the first place.
Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question for Michael. The question is, I see that we use events as premiums, like musical events. And I'd like to know how those premiums, how that fundraising is going during the fund drive relative to other shows, and how much those premiums cost. Are they 10% of the donation amount, 20%? So that's my question. Music event premium pitching.
Yeah.
How much?
The ticket, the, you know, music tickets, the event tickets are generally speaking, some of the most popular premiums we have. And the music shows bring in often more money, both Global Village during the week and typically Reggae Central on Sunday and Rhapsody Black on Saturday. Some of them down a little bit. Generally speaking, most of those are donated tickets. The cost is they're money makers if we're paying for them. Generally speaking, we're not even paying for them. It's my understanding. Sometimes they're connected to stuff that we're media sponsoring, in which case there's actually income for the station in addition to the tickets.
Thank you.
All right, 5:27, we had an adjournment time of 5:30, so I think we've pretty much covered everything on the agenda. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Back to the stack. Before we do, item number 8, I propose that we meet again on the fourth Wednesday of September, September 13th, which is 4 weeks from today. It's the Wednesday before the next LSB meeting and would be consistent with our historic regular time for this committee.
That'd be the second Wednesday then.
Okay, what? You're right. It's September 13th.
Sounds good.
Item number 8. And I also wanted to let everyone know that the next National Finance Committee is next Tuesday night, August 23, at 5:30. It's listed on KPFTX, and it's streamed live every time. Everyone here is welcome.
Thank you. Are we adjourned, Cam?
Yeah.
Thanks for your good work.
Thank you, Kim. Everyone.
Till next time.
Bye.